It's at the Jesus began his ministry. He was ready to deliver a sermon, and that sermon is the Sermon on the Mount, and you can see that in chapters of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. As he delivered that message, he was pulling people in and defining who he was and why he came and what difference he was going to make in the world as he proclaimed who he was and why he came into the world. As Jesus declared himself to be God's Son, he had a message for all of us, which is the Beatitudes. This message was delivered on, the scripture says, on top of a mountain. Well, it says in verse 1 of chapter 5, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. Well, the place in Palestine is more of a hill than a mountain. It's a little summit that oversees the Sea of Galilee. It's only 500 feet in the air, but it was a prominent place to give a message. So as he was standing there, he was ready to deliver this message to those that would listen. He had something to say that would make a difference to his followers. As you remember and you look in the Old Testament, there are many times when we see that the prophets met with God on top of a mountain or top of a high place. So this is where the Lord God met with many of the people that had a message for him. As we look at the Ten Commandments, they were delivered to Moses on the top of a mountain. As we can see, the law was delivered, and the law was a help to those that followed it. And then Jesus came along to deliver a message as well on the Mount of Beatitudes. His message was not about the law, it was about a new way of living. He was reacting to those that had followed the law, the way of living of the law that had to do with the do's and don'ts. The people of God had been focused on the rules and the regulations, and they'd gotten away from having faith in their heart, in their minds, in their spirits. So there was a God message through Jesus was saying, we need to get back to living for God in our heart of hearts. It's not about a set of rules, our faith. It's about a changed heart. Jesus knows and God knows our hearts. He knows the darkest secrets. He knows our deepest fears. The heart in the Bible is the very core of the person, the deepest part of the person. As we look at what the scripture says, the path of change goes always through the heart. As we look at the fruit of our lives, it is our hope that God will be glorified with all that we do. It matters your heart, where you're at. God seeks your heart. He seeks a heart that's open to his presence. As Jesus is teaching, he says, what good is it to practice almsgiving and fasting and outward obedience if your heart is proud and critical and condemning? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So the message is very simple. Guard your heart. Guard what goes in and guard what goes out of this place in your deeper part of your soul. Jesus came to give words of blessing. His words were telling other people a simple message to watch and be careful and to guard what goes in and out of your heart. Are you in the right place with God Almighty? His blessed words are saying that you're valued, you're loved, and you're accepted by God. So then, get into that right place with God Almighty. There was a phone call. You weren't expecting it. And someone's at the other end, and they said they have a survey to take. And this survey won't take very long. And, of course, you're cautious and suspicious because when we get a call like that, we always wonder, what's the bottom line? The person on the phone says, well, hey, it's a short survey. It just has one question. That one question is going to be simple for you to answer. So as we go about it, it says, sir, are you willing to take the survey? Well, if it won't take long, what's the question? The question is, if you were eligible to be blessed by God, would you accept the blessing? Well, let me think about it a moment. Well, sir, you don't have to hurry. You are eligible. Well, how did I become eligible? Well, when you express faith in Christ Jesus, you became eligible to be blessed, be a part of the kingdom of God. All you need to do is have faith in Jesus' words, the words that are found in the Beatitudes, the words that say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Hey, I thought you said this survey would be short. Well, it is rather short if you say yes to Jesus. Do you want his blessing or not? Oh, yes, I want it. Yes, I need it. Yes, it would be great to be blessed in that way. How much does it cost? Well, Jesus' blessing is very valuable, but it will cost you nothing. He paid the price. Blessed. Jesus said, blessed are those, and then he went on to say many statements. The word blessed is a wonderful word. He's saying that there's something special about having a relationship with God. He said, blessed are, and then he said many definitive statements that identify his character, who he is. Blessed is a biblical word. It's a spiritual word. It's a Christian word. It's a word that Jesus used that we understand. We might say, well, have a blessed day or be a blessing to someone, but this was Jesus' word that he began to encourage others about. So as we look at the Beatitudes, the Greek word is makarios, and this is a word that means blessed in this scripture. It goes back to an island in Cyprus. And in this island, as you can imagine, there's ocean all around it. It's paradise. When you go to Cyprus, you have beautiful scenery. You have wonderful weather. You have fertile soil. And it was called the Happy Island, the place that you could live and be in a state of happiness. That's where the origin of this word makarios comes from, which means that you can live in peace and tranquility in a beautiful place. So Jesus was saying when he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, he's saying, blessed are you as you live your life. This blessedness that comes from the Heavenly Father that's found deep in your soul and deep in your spirit. Jesus was using this to say that you can have harmony with God, your Creator, as you go forward in your spiritual life. In our uncertain days, we need some harmony. We need some peace. We need some tranquility as we live our lives, as we see there's much chaos in the world. So Jesus came into the world of chaos, and he was there to bless those that would receive him and receive his message. Some translations use the word happiness. Happy are those that are poor in the spirit. Well, happiness is a part of it, but happiness is a feeling that disappears. You might say that the word could be referred to as peace, peace of mind. Peace to those who are poor in spirit. Peace to those who have the kingdom of God. In fact, we can add the word eternally peaceful are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. If you want to meet Jesus, you can meet him on that mountain as he preached the message to those that were there. As we look at his words, we see the person and the character and who Jesus is as we go forward, as we walk with him, as we're open to his message to us in our lives. The Beatitudes show us the character of Jesus, who he is, how to walk with him, how he can become a part of our daily life. Jesus said you can be a part of the kingdom of heaven. You can have the kingdom life. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What an invitation that we have. We can inherit the kingdom and have it living in our life, living in our soul, living in our spirit as we go forward. The kingdom is not a political or a military kingdom. It's not a kingdom defined by a place of geography. The kingdom is a way of life. As the scripture talks about, it is the way of life that glorifies God that Jesus is talking about. The kingdom is this new righteousness that he said, the righteousness that's not based on the outward actions, but the righteousness that's based on the inward faith. And that's what he communicated to us. Faith and righteousness is not about rules, but about a special relationship with God. And Jesus, he appeared on the scene to preach this powerful message. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was compelled to give a message and to communicate that you can have access to the kingdom that he's talking about if you repent. This was the same message that John the Baptist came to declare. John the Baptist said, there's going to be one coming that you need to turn your hearts to, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came along and gave the same message, but he was saying it in a different way, saying the Messiah had come. Now, in Jesus declaring of this revelation, he's saying, I am the one that John was talking about. I am the one that is the Messiah revealed to all people. Everything before I came in the Old Testament, all these preparations were for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. His ministry is creating a movement. That movement is the movement of the Spirit of God in the lives of people. This movement is about his Sermon on the Mount, saying that there is going to be a change in the world because I came into the world. And as he gave his famous sermon, he summarized it in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom, and all the things that you hope for will be added unto you. We as Christians and believers have one real job. That is to accept the words of Jesus, to be able to have the kingdom in our heart, to create deep inside of us some space for God Almighty, to be able to have room for the Creator to dwell in us, to be able to have space for Jesus to inhabit in our hearts. We get busy, we get in a hurry, and we crowd out the space even for God Almighty in our hearts. And the Lord says, create some space. Create some space. Slow down. I want to bless you. I want to be there for you. I want to be an encouragement to you. And so that is what you need to do. There was a young boy who said to his dad, how do you know what God is like? And as they were looking in the sky, there was a plane in the sky. And he said to his son, what do you see in the sky? And he says, a plane. He says, it's really tiny, but I can see it. It's very small. And then the father said, okay, hurry up, get in the truck. So they got in the truck and they took off. And where did they go? They went to the airport. And as they got to the airport, they saw a plane. And he asked the little boy again, what do you see? He says, I see a plane, but it's huge. It's big. It's monstrous. And the father said, it was the same plane. You saw it in the sky and it was very tiny. And you saw it on the ground and it was very large. He said, that is like faith in God. If you're close to God, you see him very big. If you're far away from God, you see him very small. Son, you need to be close to God. You need to be ready to say to your Maker, God is a part of me, and then he'll be very big to you. Many people only see a little God because they're not close to God. God is not in their heart, in their life, and so they don't see the big God that there is in this world, the big God that can change your life, the big God that make a difference in your daily living. And so what a wonderful lesson that was for that son that day. As we look at the message of Jesus, the message is a heart message. The message is a heart language that Jesus talks about. He says the Beatitudes were to be for those that were listening in their hearts, that they can see the bigness of God and the glorious plan of God and the beauty of his journey as you go to eternity. Jesus was correcting the religious culture who only saw a little God and was trying to follow this little God in their own way with their own rules and their own direction. Jesus said, let that bigger God in your life and let that God dwell in your heart and you will see and experience something different. It's not about conformity to a set of rules. It's not about conforming to a law and tradition. It's about having the Lord God dwell inside of your life and in your heart. Are you in touch with this God? Are you in touch with your Heavenly Father? Are you open to his presence? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. He's using words to talk about a heart language. The language of love is what he's talking about mercy, about peace, about forgiveness. His words go from the head to the heart. He's using words that say the main thing isn't about following a bunch of rules. The main thing is about opening your life to the God that dwells in this world. If you follow blind obedience, then there will be no creativity, no human growth, no discernment, no compassion. But Jesus says, if you open your heart, there'll be lots of beautiful creation in your heart and your life, that you can have a growing edge and that your faith can turn your life around. This kind of level of communication involves the emotions, the passions, the feelings. And this is what Jesus is saying, is that you can be connected to God and have emotion in your faith, passion in your walk, and feelings in the journey that you go through. If you become concerned about those who mourn, those who are meek, those who have mercy, you're engaging the heart of the inner part of your life. Jesus says this is the journey of faith. This is the deeper walk, that all of these things are included in your faith. If you're open to encountering Jesus, you'll have the right attitude and the right direction in your life. The Sermon on the Mount was something that the hearers did not fully understand. The words are amazing. The words are wonderful, and it takes much time to understand this journey that goes on. But the question is, are you open to encountering this Jesus? The Jesus that opened up his speech and opened up his life and declared that a new way needed to happen, a new direction needed to go on. This was the establishment of his kingdom, and it began during his ministry, and it continues on into the eternity as we know it. His message was not what people expected. As they declared the message, they said, well, we didn't expect to have a meek or gentle Messiah. The culture said we want a bold and powerful and mighty military leader. So they were confused and wondered, why didn't Jesus come with boldness and power? But when you have boldness and power, you have conformity. Jesus said, when you have the heart, you have something that transforms and changes. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there also is your heart. Jesus gave the message about being transformed by love, to be unselfish, to follow his sacrificial way and his sacrificial love, a different kind of journey. His journey to the cross showed that he was selfless and giving. He didn't need to be powerful and mighty and a military leader, because the hearts that changed made a difference in people's life. The heart's ever-present question is, to whom do you belong? The path of change always goes through the heart. When you look at the fruit of your lives, it's, of course, the hope that you will have many things that you accomplish. But what about the matters of the heart? The scripture is clear. The many stories reveal of people who have turned their hearts to God. Jesus delivered that sermon, and he shared some treasures that make a difference in people's journey. He communicated what a believer is to live like. A Christian is to live after the character of God. Jesus' teaching says we're to be merciful instead of condemning. We're to be peacemakers rather than troublemakers. We're to have salt and light in a dark world. He said, blessed are those who seek a righteous life. So he presented this message to those that were willing to hear. It came to a point of expressing his new way, his new direction, his new pattern that he was presenting. That it didn't matter what was happening up here, it matters what is happening down here in your heart and your life. And so as we look forward to the Beatitudes, we will continue going through a series of messages that help us to understand Jesus' way and the direction that he's teaching in this new development of character that he encourages us to live by. So we're going to make a transition and sing a song. As we do that, we're going to be able to share communion together. We ask that you open yourselves to communion as we prepare for it. So we're going to sing Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, 439. As we sing that song, our deacons will come forward, and it's a time to prepare for this morning's communion. So let's sing together that very, very special song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, 439.